the U.S. economy adding jobs despite the turmoil in Europe?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. We're just about a half an hour away from the big October employment report from the Labor Department. That'll tell us how many jobs were added last month in the U.S. and what our new unemployment rate is. Since April, the economy has added an average of 72,000 jobs a month, and Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports today's report is likely to show more of the same.
Economists estimate we got around 100,000 new jobs in October. Decent, but not enough to attack the 9.1% unemployment rate. And who's been hiring? Well, it's not big companies with their huge cash reserves. They've been laying people off, says Paul Ashworth at Capital Economics, because they're dependent on exports.
The outlook for growth next year looks awful, frankly, at this stage for Europe, but also the slowdown we're beginning to see in Asia.
It's companies with 10 to a few hundred employees that are hiring now.
Small and medium-sized firms are more focused on the service sector and the domestic economy,
which is still chugging along in low gear. Randy Delwo makes measuring instruments. He's been doing better as U.S. manufacturers upgrade their equipment. His staff just went from 12 to 13.
Our new hire, he's been in the electronics industry, but over the last several years has not been able to find any work in that area, and so he had to go back to construction.
For the few businesses that are hiring, it's definitely a buyer's market. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Now to the Occupy Wall Street protest, the original one at Zuccotti Park in Manhattan, which is now 7 weeks old. Well, the Rupert Murdoch-owned New York Post ran a front-page editorial yesterday calling on Mayor Michael Bloomberg to evict the protesters from the park. And a Marist poll finds half of New York State voters now oppose the protesters. Now, since the beginning, the demonstrators' mantra has been, "We are the 99%. So, who exactly are the 1%? For answers, let's bring in Marketplace Economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So who are the top 1%?
Well, the top 1%, they make more than $368,000, nearing $400,000 a year, tend to be middle-aged and older. They're married, well-educated, nearly all white. I was surprised. Not very many immigrants in there. And then they're concentrated in certain occupations. You have your CEOs and senior executives, finance. Obviously, that's a big area.
Yep.
Doctors, lawyers, and I would also say media, entertainment, sports.
And is that group the same group that you would have found in the top 1% several decades ago, for instance?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think there's been a big change. If we go into the past, and particularly once we start breaking down the top 1% and you go toward the really wealthy, you know, in the past it was the rentier class. Let's think about Edith Wharton novels. Today it's much more the working rich, the people who have founded a company, say, in the information technology business or, more likely, run a hedge fund.
Now, one of the arguments that we keep hearing out of Republicans, especially in Washington, is that it's not a problem that we have these people at the top, that as long as more and more people are getting richer and richer, that's great. That's the way it should be.
Well, the problem is twofold. One is the rich keep getting richer. And, you know, the top 1% measured by income, you know, they captured slightly more than half of overall economic growth from the period 1993 to 2008. So it feeds a sense that this economy is increasingly unfair. But the real point is about equality of opportunity. As the rich get richer, that means there's less opportunity for those who don't belong to that class. And I said, you know, that we had the change toward the working rich. We may be creating a society where the rich are simply people that clip coupons, you know, pocket their dividend payments.
Marketplace Economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Chris, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading right now, about 3% higher in Hong Kong, but down about 0.3% in Frankfurt as we wait for the confidence vote in the Greek parliament to determine whether Prime Minister George Papandreou will hold on to power. Here in this country, MF Global, which just went bankrupt because of exposure to European debt, announced this morning that its leader, John Corzine, is resigning. The company's board says the former New Jersey governor and Goldman Sachs chief will not seek severance payments. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow bounced back up 208 points to close at 12,044.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. By Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted email. Reputation.com.
We've got earnings this morning from Starbucks, which says profits were up 29% last quarter. Like other multinational companies, Starbucks is benefiting from sales overseas, but the company is betting future growth not on ventis and grandes, but on a tiny little cup about the same size as an espresso. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
More coffee drinkers are brewing a single cup instead of a whole pot. To do it, they use special machines that use a plastic pod with the coffee sealed inside. It's a K-cup, and it's a business worth $4 billion a year right now. It's the fastest growing thing in the coffee market. One company, Green Mountain Coffee, has had a virtual monopoly on that market. It partnered with Starbucks earlier this year. This month, Starbucks has its coffee inside those little plastic K-cups for the first time. Bill Chappell is an analyst at SunTrust Robertson Humphrey. He says that will help Starbucks get more people drinking its coffee at home and at a higher price point per cup.
If you sell a bag of coffee, it typically runs you about 6 to 10 cents per cup of coffee. These K-cups, for Starbucks, will be selling them somewhere between 75 and 85 cents per K-cup.
Starbucks Consumer Products Division says K-cups can earn the company $1 billion eventually. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, to an interesting prediction about the stock market from a new book called Bulls, Bears, and a Croupier. It says that based on recent history, the Dow, which is currently hovering around 12,000, will reach 100,000 in the next 20 years. Reminds me of a friend who bought shares of a medication company only to watch them plummet in value. And when I asked him about it, he said, "Don't worry, in 20 years, they'll be right where I want them." In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Big banks are backing off those debit card fees, but is it too late to make a difference?
We've heard from credit unions from all across the country that they've seen an increase in business. We've heard anywhere from double their normal new account volume to five times as much.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Bank transfer day is coming up, you know. That story next time on Marketplace. The numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.